You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, and this is the Maggie Dawn Show. Hope you've had a good week thus far, and if you're recovering from the floods here in southeastern Wisconsin, we've got all kinds of resources for you that will be available in the show notes from today's episode. We talked extensively about those resources in the first hour. Please feel free to check out those resources at civicmedia.com/shows. Just find today's show for August 14th, and we'll have links to all of that there, as well as the phone number for the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance, which is 1-800-236-8517. That's 1-800-236-8517. If you are having issues with your homeowner's insurance policy, you can also send complaints related to same to ocicomplaints@wisconsin.gov. Other breaking news this afternoon. This one almost made me chuckle out loud. Marathon County District Attorney Kyle Mayo announced just moments ago that Fond du Lac County District Attorney Eric Toney will serve as special prosecutor in the Wisconsin Department of Justice Division of Criminal Investigation case concerning the removal of a ballot drop box by the mayor. Remember that? In the city of Wausau on September 22nd. District Attorney Mayo requested a special prosecutor be appointed due to conflicts of interest and to ensure full transparency and impartiality. Don't y'all hope that DA Toney will give it an actual objective look? But somehow, I don't know. This is the guy that ran against Josh Call. I'm not entirely sure we're going to get that from District Attorney Eric Toney out of Fond du Lac County. I hope for that, but I'm not quite certain of that at all. In other breaking news, on the national level, Texas Democrats have signaled that they are poised to end their redistricting walkout. We've got a new entrant into the Wisconsin gubernatorial race. Beer vendor at AmFan Field and Milwaukee area native Ryan Sternot has announced his bid as a Democrat for the governor's office in 2026. His campaign website indicates that he was a member of the Republican Party until 2001. His campaign website includes the following as his platform: improve the working class in Wisconsin. Healthcare administration will be on a tight leash. Working on the environment with common sense. Backing the police, making every block a livable one. Quality education and support for pro-choice. Governor Evers implemented pay raises for state employees as approved in the biennial budget, giving workers a 3% pay raise bump starting in September. And of course, those Milwaukee Brewers just en fuego right now. 12 wins in a row. The free burger giveaway at George Webb will be from 2 to 6 p.m. on Wednesday, August 20th. Taking place at all 23 George Webb locations across the state. Vouchers for a free burger will also be available starting Friday, August 15th at all locations for those that, quote, want to savor the moment and enjoy a delicious George Webb hamburger at a later date. That's super cool. Also, what is happening right now in celebration of those 12 wins in a row, the Brewers are selling discounted tickets. $12 tickets right now for the four-game series coming up against the Arizona Diamondbacks from August 25th to 28th. This is a flash sale. It ends tonight at 11:59 p.m. You can get those tickets for $12. I always argue that baseball is the last professional sport that's actually affordable to take a family to these days, even more so when the flash sale is going on. $12 tickets available exclusively on the Brewers website until 11:59 today. They also announced today a special Bob Uecker tribute game. Some feel the hand of Bob Uecker at the back of our hometown brew crew this entire season. That tribute game is going to be August 24th. And last but not least, in the topic or on the topic of the Brewers, I'm super excited to announce that Brewers CEO Rick Schlesinger will be joining the Maggie Dawn Show for the second time next Wednesday, August 20th at 5:30. Rick will join us again next Wednesday, August 20th at 5:30. If you are enjoying the season as much as I am, if you think we've got the miracle happening here in Milwaukee with our Brew Crew, put that on your calendar and be sure to tune in with us. I'm sure it'll be a great conversation with Rick. But let's get on. I've been saving this topic for a while, and I wanted to engage with all of you about this because as an economist and as a lawyer, and as someone who is pro-business, I consider myself a centrist Democrat. I want the economy to work for working people, for all of us. And I want it to work for businesses. I want businesses to be operating on a fair playing field, both within the United States and beyond. But it's my opinion, and I think with each passing day, it becomes more and more clear that Donald Trump is the most anti-business, anti-free market, anti-capitalistic, anti-freedom, and anti-fairness president in modern American history. And over the last 2 weeks, that has become all the more clear. And I want to talk about all of these different indicators of Donald Trump failing in this way. And so my meta point that I'm going to give you the punchline up front, and then I want to explain and extrapolate out all of the reasons that this is very obviously and evidently true, is this. Listen, a typical rationale for folks that vote Republican is because they're pro-business. It's my opinion, and I'm going to make an argument this afternoon to each and every one of you, and I invite you to participate, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Is that is no longer a reason for a person who may have considered themselves a conservative or a Republican to continue to support the president. He's simply not a business-friendly president in any way, shape, or form. He's not a guy that believes in free markets. He's not a fan of Friedrich Hayek or Milton Friedman or any free market capitalist. Now, you may think that Democrats aren't either, and we've talked about that extensively on this program, and I think Democrats need to do a much better job explaining to people how they are very much pro small business and growing business, very much pro-consumer, that Democrats deeply understand that this economy is driven by small and medium-sized businesses and consumers buying the products and being able to afford to buy the products that those businesses sell. The Democrats don't want to see people not do well. We want to see more people do better. We want to see more people able to retire, more people with greater wealth. That is what Democrats are about. But the debate today, or my discussion today with each and every one of you, is not going to go on that angle. It's going to directly attack any conception that Donald Trump is a pro-business president. He's not. He's anti-competition. He is anti-free markets. He's an anti-capitalist. And he is certainly not about freedom when it comes to business or fairness writ large. And accordingly, anyone who has supported Donald Trump in the past or currently still does on any kind of rationale that relates to economic reasons or pro-business reasons, if you continue to do so, you're lying to yourself. So let's get into it. I want to hear from you all this afternoon, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And I'm going to read you a quote to start this afternoon's discussion, probably for much of this entire hour, though we're working on a very special guest, potentially right before we close out the show. I want to read this quote because this is the cue up. This is the first of the bookends of the breaking news this past week that wraps up and I think puts the cherry on top of my argument Sunday that Donald Trump is an anti-business, anti-free market president. Here's the quote. Totalitarianism in power invariably replaces all first-rate talents, regardless of their sympathies, with those crackpots and fools whose lack of intelligence and creativity is still the best guarantee of their loyalty. Donald Trump is anti-merit. He is anti-meritocracy, anti-competition. He is not about picking the best and the brightest. He's not about supporting businesses. He is only and ever about finding the lackeys and the sycophants who will enable him to pick winners and losers, both in society and in business. And picking winners and losers, the head of state picking winners and losers, well, folks, that ain't capitalism. So let's get into the detail here. First and foremost, I think we need to start with the fact that Donald Trump has attacked research, independent research, and universities across the board in this country. And when you do that, you are aiming squarely at one of this country's biggest economic advantages. We are one of the leading research nations in the world. That research is largely driven by both universities and the private sector. But those universities and the private sector and the businesses they're in, they interact, they talk with one another. And when you undermine university-based research, by definition, it will make it more expensive, more time-consuming for private sector businesses to achieve innovation and market leverage, market advantage. When you couple that, again, with Donald Trump's decision that certain language or certain research areas are verboten, not based on, again, objective independent science or statistics, but based on his selection of winners and losers, that hampers U.S. innovation. And I don't care what industry you're talking about. Secondly, Donald Trump has effectively gutted the Federal Trade Commission. He's cut their funding. He's attacked their regulatory structure. He's also done so in the Securities and Exchange Commission. And what the Federal Trade Commission and the Securities and Exchange Commission, as well as the Antitrust Division of the Department of Justice, do is ensure that entrepreneurs and small and medium-sized businesses aren't squeezed out of our economy by monopolies or businesses that would be monopolies if they could just squash the little guy. Donald Trump wants to pick winners and losers in business, and he has no interest in busting up massive monopolies that drive up prices for every single thing that middle class and working people and families need to buy in this country. We're going to have to take care of a little bit of business. I'm going to come back on the other side. I'm going to give you some of those statistics about consolidation across some of our country's most important industries. And again, keep in mind, Donald Trump, he's gutted every single federal agency that tries to ensure a fair playing field for small and medium-sized businesses. And when it comes to the mega corporations, he's just picking the ones he likes best. That ain't capitalism. I continue this discussion of why Donald Trump is the most anti-business and anti-freedom president in modern American history on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome, everybody, and welcome back. If you're rejoining us, you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, and this is the Maggie Dawn Show. For the bulk of this hour, I am offering to you all my argument, my opinion, my conclusion that Donald Trump is the most anti-freedom, anti-free market, anti-business, and anti-fairness president in modern American history. This man is not a capitalist. This man just wants to pick winners and losers and leverage the power that Congress has ceded to him, the power that the Supreme Court has, in violation of their oaths, allowed him to exert. He wants to use power to extract more power, more wealth, and obedience from businesses, from business leaders, from CEOs. And many of them, many of the businesses and the CEOs that we know best in this country have allowed him to do so. One of the first examples of Donald Trump's anti-business, anti-capitalism, anti-freedom, anti-free markets policies that I gave you was his attacks on research and development and attacks on universities. Those are indisputably one of the most critical engines of economic growth in this country. It is how our country differentiates and accelerates our growth beyond the capacity, beyond what other countries are capable of. We rely on university research in every industry virtually to innovate and to differentiate and to accelerate our country's growth. And Donald Trump, secondly, has gutted nearly every single federal agency that is responsible for busting up monopolies. Monopolies are anti-capitalist because they are anti-competitive. A monopoly enables a single business or group of colluding businesses, in the case of an oligopoly, to effectively set prices irrespective of demand and keep them there. Monopolies and oligopolies, if left unchecked and unbroken up, allow the abuse of the consumer, yes, effectively extortionary pricing. But what it also does is it crushes any competition. Capitalism, the so-called meritocracy, is based on the idea that competition amongst businesses with new entrants into markets will make the businesses better. Donald Trump has no interest in busting up monopolies. He wants more monopolies. He wants single businesses to have control of entire markets because he can then leverage them for his own wealth and power. Now, consolidation across industries was a problem before this most recent Trump administration. But this has been a long time coming. And in almost every Republican administration since Richard Nixon, Republicans have weakened antitrust enforcement. Again, antitrust enforcement is essential so that consumers do not pay artificially inflated prices for substandard products and goods. Antitrust enforcement is essential so that there are new businesses and small businesses and entrepreneurs allowed to compete fairly. Donald Trump doesn't want any of that. Here is one small example of these things going on. In the summer of 2021, Kroger's CEO said on a call with analysts that, quote, a little bit of inflation is always good in our business, as the grocery stores can then simply raise prices, passing on costs to consumers, who will then don't really overly react to that, meaning they don't buy less. And when you look into the grocery industry, holy cow, the percentage of the U.S. market controlled by four corporations or less is over 80%. Do you think Donald Trump is going to do anything about that? The answer to that is no. Today, the top 1% of companies, I don't care what you're looking at, and this is according to the University of Chicago, take down 80%+ of all revenues in their particular industries. About 55 years ago, that was at 60% or less. So we have less competition in every sense, in every industry in this country than we have ever seen before, perhaps since the Gilded Age, when steel monopolies and railroad monopolies allowed those individuals, the Astors and the Carnegies, the Rockefellers, to enrich themselves on the back of working families and even very well-to-do families. And Donald Trump's DOJ just cleared the way for healthcare monopolies. United Healthcare was greenlit by the Trump administration just this past week to buy the second largest provider of home healthcare in America. I want you to consider that. You think healthcare is expensive enough? Just leave it to Donald Trump to allow United Healthcare to gobble up more of that industry and make it even less affordable. By the way, if prescription drug prices come down at all, nope. And is Donald Trump promising a 250% tariff on pharmaceuticals? You bet he is. We get to the Trump tariff terror and how anti-competitive, anti-free market, and anti-capitalist that is when we return on the other side. I continue my argument to you that Donald Trump is the most anti-business president in modern American history. I want to hear from you and your thoughts. Tom from Madison, we saw you on the lines. You're up next. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We'll be right back.
I'm Maggie Dawn, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
This hour is largely going to be dedicated to my argument to you that Donald Trump is the most anti-business, anti-free market, anti-capitalist president in modern American history. I could go on, anti-consumer, anti-meritocracy, anti-freedom, anti-fairness. But I just want to talk to the conservatives out there and the Trump supporters that, when asked why do they support the president, say, oh, because he's pro-business. He's not. Quick recap. He is crushing university research. That is a key economic engine for the United States, and it has been for 50 years. It is how we press forward and accelerate innovation beyond the capacity that is possible within the private sector. He is anti-competition and pro-monopoly. He has gutted the U.S. agencies responsible for antitrust enforcement. That means he's screwing small businesses, screwing medium-sized businesses, reducing competition, artificially driving prices up, allowing consolidation across all consumer industries, which has been abysmal in its acceleration over the last 40 years, to get worse and worse and worse, which means he's anti-consumer, he's anti-family, he's anti-working person. Why? And why does he do all of this? Because he wants to be the only person who picks winners and losers. He doesn't want a free market. He wants the Trump market. He wants an economy that is decided, its interest rates set, wealth distributed not according to merit or effort, but according to who Donald Trump likes on that day. And you need only look to his tariff policy or chaos or terror or Taco Trump to see that what I'm saying is exactly right. If I asked any one of you Trump supporters right now to tell me what the tariff level on Canada is, I doubt you'd get it right. If I asked you to tell me what tariff level Donald Trump first threatened to set on Canada, I doubt you'd get it right. If I asked you to predict what the tariff level on Canada will be in 30 days, I bet you'd get it wrong. And oh, by the way, on Monday, President Trump signed another executive order extending the tariff truce between U.S. and China for another 90 days, pushing those trade negotiations further out into the fall. By the way, those tariffs are generally at 55%. And in case you think Donald Trump has done anything to help the middle class, before I go to the phones here, and I want to do that next, I want to review what has happened to the price of the things that you and I and everybody buys in the last 3 months, okay? So I'm going to go through a few of those things. Here's the number if you want to get in on this discussion, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Coffee is up 26%. This is according to Bloomberg. This is three-month annualized percentage change in prices. Coffee up 26%. Beef, 15%. Cookies up 15%. Let them eat cake, he says. Peanut butter up 14%. Canned veggies, 12%. Canned fruits, 11%. Ice cream. I mean, come on, man. The ice cream, 9%. Dried beans, peas, and lentils, 9%. Fresh vegetables, 8%. Frozen fruits and vegetables, 7.5%. Candy and chewing gum, 5%, because let them eat cake. Spice, seasonings, and condiments, 4%, because let them eat crummy cake that doesn't taste like anything. Processed fish and seafood, up 4%. Breakfast cereals, 3.7%. Chicken, 2.1%. Carbonated drinks, because if you don't eat cake, why not have a soda? Those are up 1.9%. Pork, 1.2%. I could go on. This is just the last 3 months. That is not a free market. That is not capitalism. Now, I believe in the use of tariffs when U.S.-based businesses are being manipulated or abused with foreign trading partners. Those are targeted, timed, limited, with specific objective tariffs. I'm okay with that, to be clear. That ain't what Donald Trump is doing. He's picking winners and losers so that he can exert leverage and enrich himself. Let's go to the phones, 855-752-4842. Tom from Madison, how you doing this afternoon?
Hey, not bad. It's just such a strange discussion we're having. I remember my ex's father and we having discussions during the Reagan era. And
yes,
we could debate for a couple of hours and then shortly after have some coffee or a sandwich afterwards. This polarization is, I know we're trying to appeal to those voters out there in Tom Tiffany land who might, consider voting for somebody else in the next election, but doesn't there have to be some kind of responsibility when you put your entire life on the side of somebody who just attacked the Capitol, who just beat up 140 police officers, who just is starting to build concentration camps? The cuts, the DOGE cuts to U.S. aid alone killed 300,000 people around the world. And we're talking about nuances of capitalism. We used to have a Republican Party who was so ashamed of the Nixon Watergate break-in that they forced Nixon to resign. And now we have it's not that we have a shortage of education or a shortage of awareness when it comes to a lot of things. I think we just have a shortage of imagination in America. People can't even imagine what it's like to, to have a president like JFK even Obama, somebody who can inspire. There's no inspiration anymore. We're just groveling around, having these little petty little things.
I hear you, Tom from Madison. Thanks for your patience. I don't mean to offend anyone by not talking today about the loss of human dignity, the loss of respect for one another, the human lives lost because of Donald Trump's policies. But I am talking today about Donald Trump as an anti-capitalist, anti-freedom, anti-free market guy, because I think someone has to make clear to conservatives, and Tom, thanks for queuing this up for me, to conservatives and other Trump supporters who say they support him because he's pro-business and look the other way when it comes to all of those inhumane things that Tom was describing because he's pro-business. I want to take that excuse off the table so that we can stare straight at what is actually going on. Anti-freedom, anti-competition, anti-merit. That's what's happening in this country, and it is leading to the loss of life and frankly, the degradation of the human spirit. We deserve more than imagination. We deserve respect and dignity for one another. Thanks so much, Tom. Let me get through briefly. I just want to hit these other bits of evidence that I have to support my argument. Donald Trump just extorted NVIDIA for 15% of its chips profits. Since when, ladies and gentlemen, conservatives of good faith, is it okay for a president of the United States to ask a private company to turn over a portion of its profits in some one-on-one meeting in exchange for permitting them to do business? That's called extortion. That isn't free markets, and that ain't competition. That is extortion. He tried to get the Intel CEO fired last week. On Monday, he was back in love with them again. But he's trying to get people fired in the private sector. He tried to get Goldman Sachs to fire one of its lead economists because they came out with a weak economic report. I mean, what? He's attacking the Federal Reserve's independence. He almost weekly threatens the chief of the Fed. And now Donald Trump fired the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics and has appointed a guy that conservative economists at the American Enterprise Institute, a former chief economist from the Heritage Foundation, which is where this new appointee is from, and economists from the Cato Institute, also a conservative economist, and the Institute for Economic Research, economists from all of these conservative organizations, and the former chief economist of the Heritage Foundation, which is where this guy was just appointed by Donald Trump from, think this guy is a crackpot, a partisan, not a good economist, that he should have nothing to do with the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And this is what I have been worrying about and warning about since the day after the election in November. Donald Trump is anti-data because he's anti-merit. He doesn't want to actually know if anything works. He just wants to lie about it and make it up and ignore data. So why? He's untethered to actual results. So he can pick winners and losers to enrich himself and punish those that oppose him. Let's go back to the phone lines. If you want to get in on this, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Cam from Appleton, go ahead, sir.
Hey, Maggie, thanks for taking my call. So I own a company myself that is a game studio. And when I went to listen to some conferences that are a few years old now, but about 6 hours worth of them, they talked about this thing, this concept called utility scoring. And utility scoring is what we do to build AI, not in the sense of like AI today, but AI as in like the computer that you fight against, right? And the way that's related to this conversation is because utility scoring, and you probably know this, but it for the listeners out there, utility scoring is based on the economic utility score system, where you score a product or an item based off of the likeliness of it to be purchased, right? So like if someone eats a slice of pizza, if you put a pizza in front of them, they're going to want to eat a slice. But after that first slice, are they going to be as likely to eat a second slice? Maybe, maybe not. Depends. Okay, now the third slice. Probably not, unless you're greedy. But it's not well understood by people that just because of these incremental, outwardly incremental percentages, the companies are going to adjust because of those incremental tariffs and increase prices higher, because they know that even though it's higher, they're still going to get the income that they're, or the revenue that they're expecting. And it's going.
It's basically what Cam is saying is companies build models largely based on projected revenues, right? They've got targets. And if their margin is shrunk by tariffs for any period of time and they're not a large enough mega corporation to basically absorb it, they're going to increase their prices. And if not yet, it's still coming. Folks, Donald Trump, the anti-capitalist, anti-freedom, anti-free markets, most anti-business president in modern American history. Coming up next, secret protests in La Crosse? Congressman Derek Van Orten held a fundraiser and it faced quiet but determined opposition. We'll find out how they pulled off these secret protests next. Don't go anywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. And happy Friday Eve. We've almost made it through another week of hell in Trump 2.0. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. There was a secret protest in La Crosse today. Did you know about this? Congressman Derek Van Orten's fundraiser faced quiet but very determined opposition, and we're about to share with each and every one of you how the protesters pulled that off. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Matt Dooley, and thanks for making today a little crappier for Congressman Van Orten.
My pleasure, of course.
So what was going on, and what was the protest aimed to do? How'd you get, and then, of course, how did you pull this off?
Tuesday night, we heard from somebody, a confidential source, that Derek Van Orten would be in town this morning, meeting with local business leaders, to have kind of a Q&A fundraising event. We didn't know what the location was going to be. We just knew when it was going to be and that it was going to be locally. So we kind of rounded up the troops and said, hey, we're going to meet at this central location Thursday morning. When we find out where he is, we're all just going to go over there, protest as much as we can, and try and get in his face, try and, have him answer some questions, because he loves ducking his constituents. So
sure does. So who was there? How many folks do you think you had? Were you able to actually interrupt this little glad handing that DVO had planned out for this afternoon?
No, I mean, we did get there and the police were already there waiting. So, I mean, he kind of, I think, had some idea that this might happen. He has famously changed venues before when he's heard the protesters are going to be outside at the last minute. So I was not surprised that he did everything in his power to hide from us.
This is one of those, like, truly bizarro land moments for me, Matt, because you would think that any good faith politician, emphasis here on good faith, be they Republicans or Democrats or an independent or Ross Perot or whomever, Green Party, whomever it is, if you are an elected official and you find yourself actively dodging your constituents on a daily basis and concealing your whereabouts from them, you might want to take stock and think, am I the right guy for this job if my job is to represent these people as their public-facing elected official, but I am afraid of, the public?
Yeah, it flies in the face of his whole persona of, the Navy SEAL, tough guy, can't come out and talk to what was mostly people over the age of 60, and mostly women, to be frank. So it just, it makes him look a little bit like a coward, to be honest.
Oh, you mean the protesters tended to be older folks and women?
Yes.
I've noticed that as well, which I think is a really interesting phenomenon with some of the No Kings protests. There's more protests coming up in a couple of weeks, especially in response to what's happening in D.C. Like, this huge wellspring of women of a certain age, I'll say. I know my mom, who's in her 80s, has been to numerous protests, both here and in Arizona, and she is usually accompanied by a bunch of her crew, ladies also of her age group. I think it's an amazing phenomenon. What, you're literally scared of, and ladies, no offense intended, DVO, you tough former, armed services professional, you're afraid of a bunch of little old ladies? Come on, man.
Absolutely. That's what it seems like.
I want to talk a little bit about the two folks that have thrown their hat in the ring to run against Derek Van Orten. We got Laura Benjamin and Emily Burge. Tell me your take on these two candidates. I'm so excited to see two women. I'm so excited to see a contested primary. I think that's good for democracy.
Yeah, there's also Rebecca Cook, who honestly has more money than both of them, but
probably
I think
combined.
There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of excitement around Emily Burge and Laura Benjamin because they're both two extremely progressive candidates. They have a lot of energy. They're young women. They're very charismatic, and they care about their constituency. You can see it. They're out doing events every day almost. It amazes me how active both of them are. And they all want to talk to Derek Van Orten. They've both invited him to several debates, to try and get him to come out and have a discussion, a town hall, anything. Mark Pocan has been active in trying to get him to come out, and
I'm not sure. I'm not really sure though, Matt, if I trust Mr. Pocan to not actually devolve into fisticuffs if they were in the same physical space. But I don't know about the DVO. You know, if he's going to shove ladies in line the fister, I don't know if he's going to keep it, you know, not physical with Representative Pocan. Folks, we've been talking with Matt Dooley. He helped organize a surprise protest against Congressman Derek Van Orten this afternoon in La Crosse at a fundraiser. Matt, thanks so much for being with us. I really appreciate your time this afternoon.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
Folks, I just want to thank you for spending the afternoon with us here, and we're going to round out the day with a little recap of the fun stuff that's coming up from the Milwaukee Brewers. Remember, their discounted flash sale of tickets for $12 to the four-game series coming up against the Arizona Diamondbacks. That is going on right now. Again, those are $12. Enjoy those and find them exclusively on the Brewers website. And do not forget to mark your calendars. I'm going to be joined by Rick Schlesinger right here on the Maggie Dawn Show at 5:30 next Wednesday, August 20th, to talk about the miracle out of Milwaukee. Everybody, take care. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together against bullies like Derek Van Orten.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.